My name is John Erling, and today's date is December 11, 2012. Charles, state your full name, your date of birth, and your present age.
Charles William Ward, born in Midwest, Wyoming, on September 11th, 1924, and I am 88 years old.
Tell us where we're recording this interview.
This is my drafting room, where for many years I thought this was the most wonderful place in the world. I still like it. I like it so much I can't get rid of it.
And the exact location?
2121 South Columbia. It's called the Parkland Plaza Building. Columbia being halfway between Lewis and Harvard on 21st Street.
And we'll get into the buildings that you worked on, but this is one of your designs, Parkland Plaza.
Well, one of the early ones, yeah. Uh-huh. Had some famous people in here at one time. You may have known Buddy LaFortune, who was the mayor's brother. Homer Wilcox, big fellow in the oil business. Nice people.
Yeah.
Good people.
Let's talk about your mother's name, her maiden name, where she came from.
Well, I'll tell you what I know, and it's always been something that I wish I knew more about. Her name was Monetta Huckabee. Born in Texas, moved to the southern part of Oklahoma in their early years, and in some fashion moved from there to Tulsa, though I don't know why. But she was a lovely lady, a school teacher by profession, one of those nice people who were dedicated to making her students the best they could be.
What kind of personality would you describe her as having?
A marvelous personality. Played the piano in those early days, which was rare. Had a beautiful singing voice. Loved to teach Sunday school. Was a lady of ultimate compassion. She loved practically everyone.
What church was that she was involved in?
Methodist. They were Methodists in the early days, and I was too, until Shirley and I were married, when I became a Presbyterian. But they were staunch Methodists, and we moved around the country. Do you want to hear about that, John?
Sure.
Well, my father was a man of remarkable talents.
What was his name?
His name was Charles Woodson Ward.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had a son, Charles Ward III, and I've got a grandson, Charles Ward IV. There's a bunch of Charleses. We haven't got a Charles V yet, but maybe we will. He was a remarkable guy. He was a rig builder in the early days of the oil fields when they built the drilling rigs out in the bare prairie. Where they got the lumber to build them, I don't know, but he had that remarkable ability. And that took us from Wyoming to Alberta, Canada, to another oil field, from there to Texas, building derricks, from there to Columbia, South America, where I was a teenager. And he, not only a man of limited formal education, which they most were in those ways, but a man of remarkable intelligence. I don't know that I ever heard him make a grammatical error, for example. They were remarkable people, many of them in those days. Very remarkable.
Yeah. Did you have brothers, sisters?
I had a sister who died early, which I never do. But I'm the only child, the living child, yeah.
Your first education would have come in elementary in what town?
A little bit, I think, in Wyoming. But basically in an oil field out of Calgary, Alberta, called Turner Valley, which was a very prolific oil field in those days, right in the foothills of the Rockies. Beautiful area, known today as being close to a place called Banff, Canada. And the most beautiful place I think I ever saw was Lake Louise in the foothills of the Rockies. Lovely place.
How many years?
We lived there from the time I was about 6 until I was about 10.
So you had wonderful experiences playing in nature.
Yes, I had wonderful experiences playing hip-deep in snow. And then what would happen would be a wind from the Pacific would blow through the cracks in the Rockies, and it would be called a Chinook, and it would melt all the snow off the ground, and 2 days later, we'd be back to 2 feet deep again.
This would have been in the 30s.
Yeah.
So the housing was good? You had plumbing and you had electricity?
We had all of those things. Looking back on it, we must have lived in a very, very nice place. It was just originally a tar paper shack, but it became a little better. We lived in Canada till I went to school one day when it was 54 degrees below zero. Didn't think a whole lot about it, you know. 54 degrees wasn't a whole lot colder than 48 degrees, you know. But Canada was a lovely place to live. I have a real affection for my memories of the Canadian people, English people.
Did you go back ever and visit?
Been back once. Hadn't changed a lot.
Which in some ways was good, wasn't it?
I think it was good, yes.
Right. So 10 years old, you leave, you move?
Moved to Colombia, South America, right in the jungle to an area where my father, again, was building not only derricks, he had advanced to where he was building practically everything that you needed for those early day oil fields. He was a remarkable builder. He could do anything. He used to tell the apocryphal story, which I guess is, well, no, it's true. He built those derricks in South America out of mahogany. You don't see oil derricks out of mahogany too often, but that's what they had in South America. That's what you build them from.
Were you real taken with his work, or was it as a child?
I thought as a smart-aleck young kid, anybody can build those things. I know differently now. It took some skill, genuine skill, to out of the piece of bare ground put up this derrick that would drill oil wells. It took some skill, and he was a very skillful man.
Maybe you inherited something from him in construction and building.
I wondered about that, John. I wondered, maybe.
So financially, your family was probably well off because of the kind of work he was doing.
I think comparatively speaking, yes, we were. I think comparatively so, yes. Not many people in those days were, at least in the oil fields, very well off. But I think we were, comparatively speaking, yes. We thought we lived well. We had maids and gardeners and things like that, but that was not thought to be too unusual.
Colombia, South America. You go to school there then?
Went to school there, uh-huh.
Was that by that time junior high school?
Well, strangely enough, in the oil fields, until I was in the ninth grade, I went to one-room schoolhouses, the first grade to the eighth grade. Both in Turtle Valley, Canada, and in Colombia, South America, there was just one room, which broadened your education, frankly.
Because?
Because you're in the fourth grade, and they're talking about Egypt in the eighth grade, and you get kind of interested in what's Egypt, you know? It was a remarkable education.
It was an open design school, wasn't it?
Yes, it was that, for sure. But there were three of us in the eighth grade, finally, and maybe two in the seventh grade, one in the sixth grade, you know. But you could hear what they were talking about in the sixth grade, and it was interesting. You know, you learn things. It was great.
How long, then, are you there? Are you into high school there?
Until the ninth grade, because the schools just went to the eighth grade. So when the ninth grade came and we were living in South America, and there was no school, my parents enrolled me in a military academy in Lebanon, Tennessee, just outside Nashville. Castle Heights Military Academy. I went there 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grades, which was another excellent education.
How did they choose that military academy?
Through a magazine called Boys Life. Yep. Maybe you've heard of it.
Yep.
There was an advertisement in Boys Life. They were on contract for 2 years at a time. After 2 years, it worked out that they came out at that time, and they went to some place in Virginia. Didn't like that. Went to this place in Tennessee and thought it was wonderful, and that's where I was, and I spent my 4 years there, and it was a remarkable education.
From the outset, you were happy that you were enrolled there.
Oh, yes. I never felt differently. Thought it was very nice. Middle Tennessee is a very nice part of the world.
So military, it was a structure then that was pretty strict?
Yes, and there is a sort of a feeling that grows up among people that military schools were correctional institutions. I never felt that at all. My closest friend, for example, My next-door neighbor there in the barracks for a couple of years was the son of the ambassador from Venezuela, for example. They were good people there. Another one was the son of the fellow who owned Maxwell House Coffee, things like that. I'm sure there were some rascals there involved, but I made good friends. I thought they were good people, and the instruction was excellent.
I've talked to several people here in Tulsa, and you probably know many of them also went to military academy from Tulsa.
And some probably had different experiences, yeah.
What did you excel in that academy?
Well, John, you'd be interested in this. I was the editor of the newspaper.
Oh, of course. How did that come
And it was an all-American newspaper. It was a very good newspaper. And I loved it. I loved being an unknowing kid in the media business, and I liked it. I've always thought highly of the people in the media, really.
So early on, were you fascinated, I guess, by the media? Enjoyed writing, did you?
I loved to write. I loved to set type. You probably don't know, but you used to have a little thing, and you'd set type to set headlines. You know, I could set type, do all that goofy stuff.
So
I loved it.
For most of your experience there, you did the newspaper then.
Yeah, I loved it. That was great.
Probably broke some big stories on campus.
Oh, boy.